stay seated. But open with me, and then I'll repeat it once we start the tape here, to 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 3 through 6.
Let's close.
1 Samuel, 7th chapter, verses 3 through 6. Okay, good morning, everyone. Turning to 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 3 through 6. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return on the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, There, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And today, the message is about prayer and fasting. You may be seated in heavenly places. Praise God. It's about prayer and fasting. And it's not just fasting, which is abstaining from food, but it's prayer and fasting. Fasting would just be a diet that would eventually kill you if you followed it all the way. But prayer and fasting is what we're talking about today. You know, fasting is not just abstaining from food, but praying for God's intervention in your life and others. I believe that fasting is a tenet of the Christian faith. And, you know, folks, I believe, have evicted the tenet of fasting and are living on their own. And what you and I are called to do as believers, I believe every believer has open to them the ministry of fasting. And we're going to go through scriptures to show you the part that fasting plays in a believer's life. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord will never put a for sale sign on you, because he'll never move away from you. Even though you and I may move away from the Lord, one way to return to God is fasting. You know, you can't get time back in your life, but you can get the divine back in your life. Let's go down here to 1 Samuel that we're in, chapter 7. And let's look at verse 6. And it says, And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And here we see that they drew water and poured it out. And in that time, it was a symbol of distress and brokenness. And when we're having a rough time in our life, through fasting, we can pour out to God. And it doesn't have to be a 40-day fast. I want to caution you against that. It was only for prophets, kings, and Jesus. Okay? Maybe you start off fasting a meal. Maybe you fast breakfast and you wouldn't eat again till lunch. Maybe God will lead you to a day. He might even lead you once to 3 days without water and bread. But I would definitely seek God on that even. Everything you do, you should seek God for.
Amen.
And I do believe that it will empower you to live a holy life, as we'll talk about later. But it was a symbol of distress and brokenness when they poured out the water. And Samuel judged. He called the people to repentance, confession, and contrition before the Lord. Now, the next scripture we're going to turn to is in 2 Chronicles. And it's the 20th chapter and the 3rd verse. As we're talking about fasting today, fasting is not a tool by where which one manipulates God to accomplish something. Fasting is simply an outward indication of an inward sincerity, evidence of the urgency we feel when praying for special needs. And in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 3rd verse, it says, And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And because of that, there was an army coming against him. And God later provided the victory over that army because They fasted and they sought the face of God. And you and I are called to do the same thing. When things come up that are very big in our lives, God wants us to call upon Him and to seek Him with prayer and fasting. You know, God is coming back for a fasting church, not a feasting church. And it seems that the body of Christ has gotten away from fasting. And I believe it is an important thing for believers to have in their life. Maybe, you know, one meal a week or whatever God leads you to do. But we're going to discuss this. And in Ezra 8, in verses 21 through 23, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. But His power and His wrath is against all them that forsake Him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and He was entreated of us." Praise God that He's entreated. Fasting and prayer is a great way to sow to the Spirit, and thereby not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 21 here, when it talks about afflict ourselves, the word afflict here is to humble ourselves before our God. And God certainly wants us to do that. In verse 22, it says, "The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him." And that's still true today. And that will be true forever. Amen? Amen. Because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says in Hebrews. And praise God that the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek Him. And verse 23, "We fasted and cried out to God, and He came through, because they besought God for this, and He was entreated of them." Amen? So we thank Him that He is able to meet our needs, and He's always able and always willing to meet us when we go to Him. And one thing about fasting is it takes away the regular things of the day. When one fasts, it shouldn't be just to go around and do as you usually do, but you should be seeking God and going after Him with all your heart, and meditating upon the Scriptures and mourning and going to Him with everything that is in your being. In Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, in verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God." Hallelujah. In verse 1, they fasted as a nation to the God of their salvation. And with sackcloth, it says that they fasted. Now, sackcloth is a rough, coarse cloth made into a bag-like garment. It was worn with ashes to symbolize deep grief, contrition, and repentance before the Lord. And it also says in the first verse at the end of it there, that, "And the earth upon them." And I saw this, "The earth upon them is, Lord, please remove my earthly desires from me," because the earth being upon their head was upon them. And that I could see in that they were saying, "God, remove this from me and let me have a heart that is heavenward towards You." Praise God. Hallelujah. "Take all these earthly desires away from me." Praise God. Hallelujah. And verse 2. It says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers." Well, in verse 2, what we have here is we see that without separation, you can't get away. Amen? It's like in football, if there's a wide receiver, without separation from that defender, he can't get away. And we have to remove ourselves away from the things of the world when we fast and focus our mind upon God. Because we've got to do it. Without separation, we can't get away. And it said also in that verse that they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And the truth is here that in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, we bear our soul that we might be clothed in His righteousness. Praise God. Because the flesh never rests. The flesh desires perversion, but that's not God's version. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not the whole verse, but many people quote it that way. It goes on to say, the comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's a second part to that verse, and sometimes as believers, we want the easy way out, so we only quote the first part. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But we got to finish that verse. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Fasting empowers many to steps of surrender to God. Praise God. And that's what you and I want to do. That's what we long to do. And in Nehemiah 9, in the third verse, and they stood in their place. Our place is at His feet. The one that leadeth us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It also says in verse 3 that they read the word a fourth of the day before they went forth. Hallelujah. And another fourth of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord. Praise God. So that's 50% of the day, if my math is right. Amen. Praise God. So half the time they were in there and they were reading the Word of God. And the other half, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. And I don't believe that's just confessing sins. I also believe, although that's a large part of it, it's confessing how good God has done. And it's making a confession of faith, what He's going to do. Hallelujah. So we praise Him and thank Him for that He is able. And if you want to stick fast to God, fast. Praise God. Our sins are not greater than God's power to deliver us. And when we're in acute spiritual pain, fast and call upon His name. Okay, let's go to Esther. The book of Esther. The fourth chapter we're going to be looking at. And verses 13 through 16. Esther 4, verses 13 through 16. This was the time when the Jewish nation was about to be wiped out by Haman and the things that he had done and how he had schemed and planned against the Jewish nation, how he hated Mordecai. But here we see in verse 13, it says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. She wasn't even able to go. She didn't even know if she went before the king. He'd have to put the scepter a certain way that she could even perish, because those were the rules in the palace at that time. But we know that because of the fasting and because of the praying, that God intervened. Amen? Amen. And that God had His way. And that the nation was saved. And Mordecai, he was exalted. And we know that excuses are nooses. Just ask Haman, who went to the hangman. Praise God. You know, Esther went to God for the rescue. Amen? And you and I have to do the same thing. Praise His holy name. You know, fasting. Fasting accompanied by heartfelt prayer is a sign of intensity related to a desperate need. And I want to repeat that. Fasting accompanied by heartfelt prayer is a sign of intensity related to a desperate need. Let's turn over to Psalm 109. Psalm 109 and verse 24. It was part of the psalmist's life, part of David's life. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. Praise God. David knew it to be part of his life. In Isaiah, and this is a famous bit of scripture on fasting, the 58th chapter, verses 3 through 14. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the beach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God that He is able to turn a fast that He has chosen to break the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And is it not the heart of God to deal the bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? God welcomes them with open arms. And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide thyself not from thine own flesh. And then shall thy light, in verse 8, break as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. And then thou shalt call, it says in verse 9, he shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Praise God. Sometimes we don't know. I could say for myself, I don't know who I am, but I know the I am. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And you and I can go to Him and cry out when we're in trouble, and we draw out our soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. Then the light shall rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Thank God for His promises and for this book. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd be hooked if it wasn't for the book. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I've been hooked by the book, and I give God all the glory. He's the one that keeps me, because my heart can easily go back to old things of the past. But I have to cry out to Him. And sometimes I got to fast and pray, because If any of you have ever been in addictions before, you know that it's powerful. Whoa. Some of you might be there right now, even. But God gives a way out. And He calls unto us to pray for one another that we may be healed. And that we can go to God and pray for those that are addicted. And pray and seek the face of the Lord. And cry out to God for His deliverance. He's no respecter of persons. If He's delivered me from many things, stuff I'm not even going to go into, because I'm not going to glorify the devil. God is good. And He is able to deliver you from anything. And I know He wants the best for everybody. He doesn't want people going around and to be in chains when they can be free. It is best to let Him have His way with thee. Praise His holy name. So we thank Him for His power and His enabling power. He's the only one that can do it, because we know in our own strength that white knuckle club that our dear brother Jack always talks about does not work. It's never going to work. And we rely upon the Lord. We give our best, and then He does what we cannot do. It's like with my baby beagle, Pixie. She can't really jump anymore, so she'll put her little paw paws on the bed. And then Daddy's got to boost her to bring her the rest of the way up. Because she can't do it on her own, I have to help her. And I can't do it. I reach up for Father, but in my own heart sometimes keeps me from being with Him. And He's got to enable me to make my heart right so I can get up on the bed with my Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's the same way for you. Let's go to Daniel, to the 9th chapter, in verses 3 through 9. Daniel 9, the 9th chapter, in verses 3 through 9. You'll find it right after Ezekiel. Praise God. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I turned unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces as it is this day. To the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries whither Thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belong the confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. And we could say the same thing, amen? Mm-hmm. To our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Thank God He is always there, and we don't get what we deserve. But He gives us His best. And we thank Him for that. We thank Him for His love and His mercy. We need to intercede before God, identifying with the needs of whom we're praying for, and base all petitions on the desire to glorify God's name. Crying out, fasting for others' needs is the Spirit of the Lord, the golden rule of life. I need to fast for my brother or my sister if they're battling addiction, or if they're sick, and I leave that sick part in God's hand. He knows. He knows. I pray for healing, but Father knows best. The ultimate healing is being with Jesus. Lazarus died again. Amen? One thing about God, I heard this in a song, that He's the only one that can be late and still on time. Because Lazarus, he stank. He was in the grave 4 days. And even though it might appear Jesus was late, He's still right on time. Hallelujah, because He raised Him from the dead. We thank Him and give Him all the glory. So even though God's late, He's still on time. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Let's go to the next scripture, to Joel. Joel, the first chapter. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. And as you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a story about Joel, who Solomon babysat for. And I told you this before. he was just a little boy, and he used to say every night, because Sue would tell him about the Lord, his parents, his sister, his brother, he'd say, now I'm going to, you know, I'm going off, it's time to go to sleep. Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. Amen. Praise God. Joel 1:1-14. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your father? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children in another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Praise God. Hallelujah. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priest, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languisheth. Be ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, and the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves, and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. God has called upon all of us to cry out to God, not only as individuals, but as times, in desperate times, as a body, to cry out to God and to fast and pray that God would have His mercy upon our land. Our land is in trouble. We see what's going on out there in politics and in everything else. We see the drought. It's time to fast and to pray for a nation that has rejected God. Amen? And God will decide what He wants to do. He sets one up, the Bible says, promotes one and puts another one down. God will be God. We praise Him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me to Jonah. Praise God. To the book of Jonah. Jonah, the 3rd chapter in the 5th verse. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And we know that Jonah did not want them to repent. He was on vacation. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go on a fishing trip. And we know what happened. Praise God. And that the great fish, if we call it a whale, it doesn't matter. He just spewed him out, and he's covered with all the bleach of the whale and everything, lands on that shore. Repent. And they repented, and God got the victory. And praise God. The word fast here actually means, in the Hebrew, the word is tosom, T-O-S-O-M. It means a time to set aside, a time to set aside to mourn, to pray, with no provision for one's normal food needs. Fasting is also an action contrary to the first act of sin in the human race, which was eating what was forbidden. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that, in a sense, counteracts what man did first against God and brings back into balance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go. Of course, Jesus, we know, brought us spiritually back into balance. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to, we're going to go to the New Testament. Let's go over to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 6th chapter. In verses 16 through 18. And Jesus, talking about fasting here, says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly." Hallelujah. We don't need to blow a trumpet. "I'm God's man of faith and power. I'm fasting today." No, we don't want to do that. And that's what Jesus is saying. And we need to go about it humbly and go to God and seek Him. And He will move on behalf of His people. He'll move on behalf of your own life when you go to Him and you do it quietly. Get washed up, comb your hair, whatever you got to do. Amen? And just go out there and do what God would have you to do. Praise God. Let's move on to the next scripture, which is Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and verses 14 through 21. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to my disciples, and I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.'" In verse 21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Hallelujah. And I believe also in certain things in our life and besetting sins, we've got to fast and pray that God would empower us for victory. Amen? That we could live a pure life before God, one that would be pleasing in His sight. The other day, I woke up early in the morning and I began, as I opened my mouth, I went to say, "Praise God." Instead of "Praise God," I said, "Please God." And I want to please God. So I just, interesting that, you know, He put those words there, and I give Him glory. Because all of us here, we really want to please God with all of our hearts, or we wouldn't be here. Praise God. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm saying also in this verse 21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting," as I said, for every area of your life. God is saying, it goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Okay, we want to go. The next scripture is Luke, the second chapter. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, even though he was a doctor, he had to go to the great physician to get saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And in Luke, the second chapter, in the 36th and 37th verse, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Praise God. Hallelujah. I think of someone like that, that has lived their life for God and has prayed and fasted for people that she knew, people in her synagogue, that she came and put her life out there for God, and God was honored with it. Years ago, God gave me something from where Jesus was talking about that little woman, the widow that came in, and it says that she had the widow's mite. It was mite. She had 2 mites, which is 2 pennies. That's all she had. Everybody else, Jesus said, cast into the offering from their abundance. But she cast in all her living. And I believe that that is the widow's mite. M-I-G-H. M-I-G-H-T. Praise God, the widow's mite. And that's the might of the Lord. That's the might of just giving to God everything you had. She cast in all her living, and God in her heart cast in all His living. Amen? Because that's what He's looking for. He's looking for a heart like that. A heart that would serve God with fastings and prayers night and day and allow God to have His way in her life. Praise Jesus. Now we've got one more scripture and I'm going to close here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. That's the kind of life that we're after. The 6th chapter. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. Thank God that He can move in our lives and He does special things when we go to God and said, I'm fasting unto Your honor today. I'm not telling anybody, Lord. If you're married, you might want to tell your spouse if she's preparing something for that day. But we need to cry out to God for a breakthrough in marriages. We need to cry out to God for breakthroughs in relationships, in working relationships, in many things. And we can watch God do tremendous things as we seed onto Him and give up our food for whatever meal God tells you to do it and seek Him with all your heart and see not if He will move heaven and earth and He will have His way with you and with the folks that you're praying for. I know that it's true. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 10. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Hallelujah. And we see in the many things in life, fasting is right in the middle there. And God wants us to cry out to Him that He could move upon us. And I share this before, but it bears repeating. I can remember many years ago, I believe it was 91 or 92, Sue-Ellen was out of work, and she was supposedly to get a check for her situation. And this check was due to come to us. And it hadn't come for months and months, and it was a long time. It had been 6 months. And so we were just working on my salary. The bills kept coming in. I always say we were never blessed with a child, but if I had a male child, never name him William because I got too many bills. But praise God. God is good. And we kept seeking God. And on this one particular day, I was working at the Concord. We were with a vacuum truck, which takes and vacuums up the drains so the water can have a free flow. And we need to vacuum up our drains spiritually by fasting and seeking the face of the Lord. But what I want to tell you is this. I was over there that day, and I said, God, I'm going to stay away from the guys today. I'm not going to chit-chat with them. When it comes break time, when it comes lunchtime, I'm just going to fast. So I'm going to seek Your face today because we have a need. And I know You're a good God and that You want to meet our needs. I said, you know, the bill collectors, they're at the door, and we want to do the right thing. When it's in Your power to do it, You don't withhold it, the Bible says in Proverbs. So we want to pay our bills. And so what happened, I began to fast. I began to pray. I began to just remind God of His Word. I said, I'm seeking You with all my heart. I'm depending on You to take care of my family. I was praying and praying. And 2 days later, we got a check in the mail, postmarked the very day I was fasting. So I know that God, He did it, and I give Him all the glory. And I'd also, you know, like to say that it's like the seasons. My wife's favorite season is spring minus fall. I love it when the master painter takes his brush and he paints. It only lasts for a week or two. Sometimes you get them coming in, and then you get them come out, last longer. And if you travel up a little further to the east, it'll last longer, so you can enjoy the foliage. It's so beautiful that what God does. But I see the four seasons in our life, and the fall is like we fall before Him in fasting with the leaves. As they fall to His feet in fasting and prayer, we join with the leaves. And in winter, we come to Him in tears and repentance. We experience winter that our soul would be barren from worldly desires, which giveth way to His glorious freshness of the season of spring in us. It is followed by His flourishing of summer in us, which brings us back to fall, where He harvests our hearts again, and it starts all over again. Amen. And really, that's the life of the believer. We turn to Him with fasting and prayer, and He moves upon our life. My wife said the other day, the fifth season is heaven. Yeah. Praise God. And that's where you and I want to go. So we thank Him that we can go on to Him, and we can fast and pray, and we can seek Him. And we're going to continue to do that, and we're never going to stop seeking Him. And I'm not saying that anybody has to do this, but I'm telling you as a believer that I have reaped benefits in my life. I can tell you I've not done enough of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not what you think I am. If God put my life on a movie screen, I'd be ashamed right now. Maybe some of you would be too. How I've missed God and how I've disobeyed Him at times. But I know that He loves me, and I know that He loves you. And He wants the best for each of us. And we can thank God that we can find Him in a more special way when we give up a meal or two and concentrate on Him and not just go about our normal chores, but set aside a time to seek Him with all our hearts and see if He rains not His righteousness down upon us and His enabling power. And I'm just going to sing a little song here that I have. I may not even have the key right, but I heard this off the radio, and it's just two little short ditties here. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. And the next one is this. Lord, I know I am prone to wander far away from Your staff and rod. But I can't go so far as You can't lead me homeward. Loving Shepherd, gracious God. And I thank God that He is that way. And even though I might have been off key on that last song, He is not off key. And He loves us, and He wants us to seek Him with all His heart. And He just wants us to give Him what belongs to Him. And that's the thing that we've got to return most of all, is His heart to Him. Because He's the one that put it in us. He's the one that definitely put it in us. And He causes us to rejoice and praise. And when we sin, He causes us to go home to Father and go home to Jesus and the Holy Spirit with 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and to forgive us of all our sins. Amen.
Amen.
And we thank Him for that today. So we praise Him. I'm just going to try to sing those two songs again in reverse here. Lord, I know I am prone to wander far away from Your staff and rod. But I can't go so far, You can't lead me homeward. Loving Shepherd, gracious God. And I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Praise God. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we just thank You. We pray that You would just go with the congregation today, be with our pastor and his wife, be with our beloved Jack, and and all those, Lord God, that aren't here today, that You love just as much. And we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that leads us to Calvary, that leads us to love, that leads us to intercession that leads us to all things pertaining unto life and godliness. We ask that You just bless everybody here today. And we just thank You and give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have a last song, and then the altars will be open for prayer. Praise God. Thank you.